back. Isn't that great? Curtis Lee Mayfield.
Yeah. You know, he was crippled in an industrial accident. That's a terrible story, you know.
When you say industrial, I think he was performing.
He was performing. Well, I consider that an industrial accident. He was earning his living, and somebody didn't do his job right, and the lighting on the stage collapsed on him and left him a quadriplegic.
And he came back.
And he came back, and he kept performing after that, yeah.
And
yeah,
came
yeah,
back and yeah. performed.
Yeah.
Now, it is a very important story. I meant to get to that detail. I'm glad you raised it. That's the voice of Phil Condon. Phil has a program each Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m., Classical Underground.
And hey, I think we have to investigate this story that Beethoven was a black man. There's some European nationalists would be very upset with that. So,
like the Jefferson family.
Yeah, like them.
the Jeffersons are still saying, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Well, I've been reading Pushkin, and Pushkin was African descent for sure. And he, incidentally, if you don't know, Pushkin wrote a story called Peter the Great's Negro. And it was the story of this purchased slave. He bought this slave from Turkish traders. And Peter the Great was an enlightened individual. He knew this was a human being with all the capacities anybody else, and that he treated him, made him part of a family, saw that he was properly educated, and he became a figure in the ruling circles of Russia. And this story that I'm referring to, the Negro of Peter the Great or Peter the Great's Negro, neither of us speak Russian, so I don't have to worry about whether I got it correctly named. The story is powerful, and I do recommend you get it. It's available, of course, on the internet now. You could just go and get it. But it was not completed because Pushkin was killed in a duel. A beautiful man. It is agreed he's the greatest poet of Russia, and he is African descent and Russian. But unfortunately, this culture of dueling, he bought into it. It's a horrible thing, isn't it? I mean, look.
It is, and it's
fighting and dueling and a lot of
I think we have leftovers from that culture around today. Unfortunately, people feel they have to settle their differences in violence, right? And it's because the worst thing about dueling was that society understood that it was a terrible thing, but because aristocrats insisted that their honor somehow involved them in engaging in it, they were not brought to heel about it for a long time. A lot of people got murdered, by the way,
because they were brought into fights-ish where somebody deliberately provoked a fight with him. In War and Peace, Pierre, the lead character, is drawn into a duel, which, by the way, Tolstoy, with his good sense of irony, he has him win it because things go wrong for the people who were setting him up. And he apologizes to the the gunman that he shoots. He feels very bad about it. He shot the tough guy. Got shot, and of course the toughest part for him is he survived to be apologized to by the punk who he was supposed to kill. I do recommend the War and Peace if you've got a time, you know, a few minutes. And I'm glad that we got onto this theme of and calling attention to these matters. Tolstoy once challenged Turgenev to a duel.
Oh, that's mad.
You know, isn't it?
That is mad.
It would have been great if Turgenev had shot him. What he was thinking about, here's a guy who ends up writing about the Gospels, turning the Gospel into a guide for life about how it would turn the other cheek. And he actually challenged Turgenev. Turgenev was a civilized man, I think just smiled at him. But it's pathetic, and it's very sad. We have to be here. We are talking about Pushkin. Speaking of Pushkin, let's remind everybody that Jeremy Corbyn has like a comet. I guess he lit up the world by breaking out and getting away from the control of the Blairites and actually winning the party base. Did you notice that the party membership has gone through the roof?
And they have more new members in the last 3 weeks than the total membership of the Conservative Party.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's eight. The last figure I heard was 800,000.
800,000. Yeah.
You see, and by the way, that's why. Ask yourself, why doesn't the NDP want? They don't want those people bothering them. Hmm. They don't want to hear from them. They have a. Little,
you know, something amazing came up with the NDP.
Where the smirks flash on and off as you come near it.
Something amazing came up in the NDP debate. One of the candidates accused the other candidate of just fundraising and not actually talking policy. And then the other candidate shot back and said, well, nobody ever can get an answer on policy in this party. And I can tell you that's true. I've been a member of the NDP for 20 years, and I have never once gotten anybody in the party to answer a question I have about policy. Yeah. Send us some money? That's the only thing I ever hear from them.
And they
send
guilt you, if you don't give them the money so that they can get an office and ignore you.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly how it works.
Yeah. Well, I was very pleased we had with our guest, Murray Dobbin, who shares our concerns. Please go to those articles, the one by Murray Dobbin, June 9, Counterpunch. Go to Norman Otis Richmond, Curtis Mayfield. And we're not going to sit back on it. We intend to keep talking about Chrystia Freeland and what a strange thing she is. And we intend to keep on challenging those who claim to be, who would like to see a peaceful world and all that, to let us have some political leaders with guts enough to follow Jeremy Corbyn, who's well-versed, well-spoken. All the malarkey about him is malarkey. You've been listening to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. We've got to thank Carol, Captain Carol, for getting us through this, and we'll see you next week.